Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the broadcast today. We're going to continue sharing with you on the subject of accurate New Testament prayer. Again, we have a book on this subject, and if you would like to receive this book, please give us a call, and we will get that information to you on how you can obtain it. And today we're going to continue to share what we began in the last broadcast on the subject of qualities necessary for successful prayer. We've talked about what prayer is and the difference between Old and New Testament prayer, how we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We make our legal demand. We pray a prayer of faith by believing we take hold of with thanksgiving. We pray continuously, and we eliminate everything that would hinder us from getting results in prayer. We deal with sin. We have confidence. We don't let any unforgiveness in us. We deal with doubt and wavering and negativism and worry or anxiety or wrong motives or feigning. And we learn to pray and have corresponding action and do it without ceasing. And we learn to not be moved by the senses or what we feel. We're praying, releasing the ability of God in the spiritual realm to bring the will of God, the promises of God, to pass in our life. These qualities necessary. The first one that we talked about in the last broadcast is responsibility and commitment. Matthew 21:13, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." In the Old Testament, God was dwelling in the Holy of Holies, and it was to be a place where they were coming into the temple in the other areas to pray. God's temple is to be a house of prayer. Well, we are God's temple now. God's dwelling in us in our spirit, and we are to be a vessel of prayer. We are to pray, get responsible, and get committed to it. We saw the scripture in Isaiah 56:7, where he says, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain," that's the presence of God, "and make them joyful in my house of prayer." When you learn to pray, you will be joyful. If you quit praying, you'll get your eyes on yourself, on circumstances, and all the things the enemy's bringing at you, and you'll lose your joy. Learn to be a person of prayer, and you will have your joy. It says, "Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." You're to be a house of prayer not only for yourself, but for all. A second thing that we talked about is the fact in this responsibility and commitment area is having a pattern of prayer. In Acts 1:14, it says, "They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." The apostles steadfastly continued in prayers. And this is so important. You've got to get committed and get a pattern of prayer. Be steadfast in it and get in one accord with others, praying accurately in line with the Word of God. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." We would actually be sinning against the Lord if we cease to pray for others. Men ought always to pray and not the saint. God's long-suffering. We should be long-suffering as well and praying consistently for the will of God to come to pass in people's lives. And Anna was one who prayed night and day. She served God with fastings and prayer night and day and did not depart from the temple. Well, praise God, now God's dwelling in us, so we always are in the position of being in the temple. We should learn to pray and fast and do it night and day, praise God. Take upon yourself the responsibility and the commitment to prayer. The second area we talked about is discipline. Acts 3:1, "Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer," being the ninth hour. We need to set an hour of prayer. Set a disciplined time for you to pray. We saw the scripture in Mark 1:35, where Jesus, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You need to get apart, get and withdraw yourself with the Lord, and learn to pray. Get alone with God. Rise up a great while before day. Put Him first place and learn to be a person of prayer. Jesus would depart into a mountain to pray, withdrew Himself in the wilderness and pray. We need to learn to be a person of prayer as well. Another third area that we talked about is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And this is so important because as we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll know when to pray, what to pray, and how to pray according to the Word. And as we pray, we'll be in a position to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He can bring supernatural visitations through dreams, visions, or appearances by angels to us. We saw some of those scriptures, such as in Acts chapter 10, where Peter had gone up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And then later in recounting what happened, in chapter 11, verse 5, he said he was in the city of Joppa praying. And then what happened? He was suddenly in a trance and saw a vision. God gave him a vision. What opened him up in the position to be receiving that? It was the fact that he was in prayer. He was praying. He was in the position to receive the visitation from the Lord. Then Cornelius was also in the position of praying. He was praying in his house, and an angel showed up, and the angel gave him a word and said, your prayer is heard, and your alms are in remembrance in the sight of God. And he said that you're to send to Joppa and get this guy, Simon Peter, who was to come, told him where he was, and Simon the tanner by the seaside, that was a word of knowledge, and that he was going to come and speak to him. And so, as he was praying, you know, he got the revelation of God, and Peter was praying, and he got the revelation of God as well. And God then was able to move because both of them were sensitive to what God wanted to bring forth. And you need to get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Same kind of thing happened with Paul. Remember, we saw that scripture in Acts 22 where he was there coming to the temple, and he was suddenly in a trance again in the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. When you are led by the Holy Spirit, he can warn you of danger to come and show you what to do. And we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit so that we will not have calamities come upon us because of the fact that we weren't in the position to receive what God wanted to tell us. Now let's go on today. A fourth area is the area of boldness and confidence. If you're going to pray effectively, you need boldness and confidence in prayer. Very important. Proverbs chapter 28, here in verse 1, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Well, are we the righteousness of God? Sure we are. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers. The righteous are bold as a lion. You need to have boldness and confidence in prayer if you're going to get the results. I tell you, the wicked flee. You got to get bold and confident in all that you do in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly, confidently unto the throne of grace, so you may obtain, take hold of mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. 1 John 3:21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We're to have confidence in prayer and boldness in our approach to him. 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him. When there's boldness and confidence, that is important, and those are the qualities necessary to see results. And next area, fifth area, is the area of strong desire. When we have strong desire, we're going to strive after the desired results. We're going to contend with the adversary. We're going to stretch ourselves out with earnest, fervent prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Notice that. He was laboring fervently. This particular word, laboring fervently, is one Greek word, and it means to strive or contend with. So what was Epaphras doing? Epaphras was striving and contending with the enemy in prayer to see the will of God be done in the life of the church there at Colossae. And this is what he's saying. He says he was always laboring or striving and contending with the enemy in prayers, for them in prayers, that they might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This shows the attitude that you've got to have. You're going to strive and you're going to contend with the enemy, and you are not going to draw back until you see the will of God be done in the life of a person that you're praying for. Don't be one who prays and then quits. Be a person of long suffering who's going to pray consistently and not faint. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is speaking of Jesus. Being in an agony. Agony, you look up this word, it means a severe emotional strain. He was under the pressure. And it said that he prayed more earnestly. More earnestly is from one Greek word, and this particular Greek word is ektonos, which means stretched out. When we pray, we're going to stretch ourselves out. He was praying intently, earnestly, and fervently, stretched out to the limit to see the results. We see the same word used over in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, where in Acts 12, 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The word without ceasing is a Greek word, ektonos, the same word, meaning stretched out in praying. They were stretched out in praying intently and earnestly and fervently. Here, the body of Christ, the church, stretched themselves to the limit for Peter's release. And what happened? God sent that angel to him to set him free. I'll tell you, prayer will bring the results, but it takes strong desire. It takes strong desire. It takes someone who's going to stretch themselves out and do what is necessary. James chapter 5, here in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word effectual is from a Greek word energio, meaning operative, putting forth power, or working effectively. And when this righteous man in Christ prays, he's to pray by putting into operation the power of God to work effectively and effectually. Fervent prayer is from one Greek word, diesis, which means to desire or want in prayer with the idea of urgent need. And this is important. This word is translated supplication throughout the New Testament. And this word denotes praying with strong desire, with the idea of urgent need. Then the word, the phrase availeth much in that verse, literally means to greatly prevail. And this is important. When we pray accurately, we're going to cause the power of God to be released to greatly prevail over the enemy. And you put everything together, the prayer of a righteous man puts into operation the power of God to work effectually with strong desire and the idea of urgent need, and that will greatly prevail over the enemy. You've got to get this strong desire. You've got to get yourself stretched out with earnest, fervent prayer. You've got to get bold and confident for the Lord. Get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Get disciplined and be responsible and be committed. These are qualities that are necessary for you to be a successful prayer warrior. So you're a believer in Christ. You've got to make the decision. I'm going to pray with strong desire. I'm going to pray continuously until I see the desired results come to pass. Give yourself to prayer. Make yourself a house of prayer and have that pattern of prayer. Be committed and watch God move in your life. We'll see you on the next broadcast. God bless you. As I close today, do you realize that the number one negative influence in your life is inherited generational curses? This is because the iniquities of the forefathers are passed down to the children to the third and fourth generations. These curses enforced by demonic spirits must be broken and the spirits must be cast out. We break inherited curses and cast out these spirits in our Healing, Deliverance, and Counseling Center. If you would like personal ministry, please call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a doer of the Word of God.